If you open your Bibles today, the book of 1 John, chapter 4. Father, we do thank you, and we do praise you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you have promised that you will do. Lord, I give myself as your vessel. I pray, dear God, that you help me to be in tune with your spirit and to share your word with your people. I pray that every heart be open to hear, to believe, and also that we all might be doers of your word and not hearers only. We give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you praise now and forever in Jesus' name. And those in agreement said,
Amen.
Amen. All right. As we begin today, I have a question for everybody here. You don't, have to, I don't want to embarrass anyone or anything, but I just wonder, do you love God?
Yeah.
That's the question. Do you love God? If you love him, let me, if you aren't too embarrassed, let me see your hand. All right. 1 John chapter 4. And I want to begin it. Verse 7. And it says here, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Amen.
Okay. We say that we love God. But in order to truly love God, we have to love also. Why? Because God is love.
Amen.
And if I don't love, if I think I just got to focus this on God and that's it, no, God is love. And so if we love, we need to have that unconditional love the same as he does. You see, God created us to be and to live as a family. I hear one or two yeses on that. God knew that we wouldn't all think the same way and have the same ideas about everything. But the thing about it is, even when we differ in our thinking, his desire was that we would know how to come together in our difference of thinking, or what we call reconcile when we think differently about things. To reconcile, the first part of that, you see that re, which means to do it, to do again. That concile is when you're walking in friendship and unity and all, but sometimes things happen and you can fall out of that. Reconcile means to bring it back into unity, bring it back into friendship, bring the relationship back together. Even when God first made Adam and Eve, And he told them not to eat from that tree in the midst of the garden. Now, God had a relationship with Adam. When they broke that relationship, well, the next thing that we see is that God came to the place where they were and began speaking with them. His whole purpose was not just to be angry with them and cast them out of the garden. His purpose was to reconcile. But because they didn't follow up, first thing Adam did was wanting to blame God and his wife for him messing up. That's not reconciling, my brother and sister. When Peter denied even knowing Jesus three times, one of the next things you see is that Jesus is there. They're out in the boat fishing, and Jesus is there on the land making breakfast for them, and he calls them over and he asks him, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, good, feed my sheep. Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Good, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me as a true friend? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, good, then go out and feed my sheep. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was reconciling with Peter. Peter denied even knowing him three times, but here Jesus is reconciling with him. And this is God's example to us. We can all mess it up sometimes. Well, some of us can mess it up sometimes. But God's desire is that when we mess it up, that we try to do the same thing that he did, reconcile, bring it back together into love and unity. When asked one day, Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And he said, the second is just like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and all the prophets. Now, as far as commandments goes, there were 613 of them. But Jesus said, if you keep these two, then you've kept all 613 of them. Because all of them could be summed up in that. If you love God, and if you love your fellow, whether man or woman, then you have kept everything that's in the law, all the commandments, everything any prophet has said, you've kept it. In Matthew chapter 5, there's something about that that a lot of us don't really get. Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus was, we have the first recorded message that Jesus preached. Beginning at verse 21. Says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you should not murder, and whosoever murders shall be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, now he's already given the warning, but he said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first. Use that word again. First, he said, this is the most important thing. First, before you offer your gift, first, be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift. I think God is saying something here. More importantly than you putting your tithe into the box, a basket, or whatever you do, he says it's more important that you're walking in love and in unity with your brother or sister. So he said, if you come to offer your gift, yes, you know, I pay my tithes every week. So you come in to do it. He said, no, but if you remember there, and a lot of people mix that up, that if you got something against your brother, but let me think, oh yeah, that's right, I forget, I did this to so-and-so, let me go and see. He didn't say that. He said, if you remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift. First go and be reconciled with your brother or sister. Then come back and offer your gift. In other words, go and try to get it straight. We're all going to have things that we run into from time to time. But it's not always that you are holding it against them. Suppose that you know that your brother or sister is holding something against you. You have an obligation to go and try to, again, reconcile, bring the situation back into harmony. Now, there is no guarantee that you can do it, but at least you make the effort. Because we say we love God, but God is love. And if I know that I've got somebody holding something against me and I don't even make an effort to try to bring the situation back into unity, then how can I truly say that I am walking in love? Reconciliation, and that's basically what I'm speaking on here this morning. Reconciliation involves forgiveness. Reconciliation involves forgiveness. Somebody, in order for a situation to be reconciled, somebody has to be willing to forgive. It's the forgiveness, believe it or not, is more important than who was right or wrong. Yep. The reason it's so hard many times for us to reconcile is because everybody wants to stand on the fact, well, I know I was right. I know she was wrong. So therefore, we can't reconcile. And Matthew chapter 6, so you don't have far to turn there. Next chapter, chapter 6. Begin at verse 12. A passage here that most of us are familiar with as he's talking about what we call the Lord's Prayer. He says, and forgive us our debtors, our trespasses, as we forgive, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. In other words, forgive us where we have messed up, as we forgive those that have messed up against us. Amen. Now, if I can't forgive those that have messed up against me, then I'm asking God not to forgive me where I've messed up.
Can God forgive you without repentance?
He can, but as far as your being able to receive it, that's another whole issue. In fact, God already sent his son Jesus to pay the price for all of our sins. But whether we receive that forgiveness or not, that's a whole nother issue. So he said, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. So, and it's in Luke chapter 3, verse 18. And I would say just for myself personally, I would want to repent, because when we get to the true meaning of repentance, I know most of us have been taught most of our lives it means to turn and go the other way, but it means to change your way of thinking. And if I haven't really changed my way of thinking, even if I turn and go the other way for a moment, then I'm going to go back to that way I was thinking before and end up going back where I was. So it is important that we repent. Luke chapter, First John chapter 3. Because here's where a lot of us mess up. First John chapter 3. Verse 18. And it says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Sometimes we say, oh, I love God, I love everybody. But do our actions show that? It's easy to say that I love. We just said, let's not just love in word only, but in what we do, how we do it. That's how we show true love. And because we have to understand, once again, we're going to have different opinions, different perspectives about things in life. Can I get two volunteers here for a moment? Two volunteers. Can I borrow two? No, you got to work the camera. No, right there. Right there. And right there. Okay. Come on in a little closer. Turned facing each other. Okay. Tell me, what do you see here? What do you see?
Six.
What do you see?
Nine.
Huh? Yeah. Both of you are looking at the same thing. How are you going to tell me again? Look a little closer, make sure. What do you see?
It's upside down.
No, what do you see?
I see a six.
What do you see?
A nine.
Somebody, can I get somebody else to come here?
I'm closer.
I want you to stand, and I come on around this way, because I'm blocking the camera. Come on, come here. What? Come on in. Okay. Which one of them is right? Which one? She said it was a nine. She says it's a six. Which one is right?
They both are.
Oh.
Depending on how you look at it.
Oh, okay. So that means that we can sometimes have a different perspective on things, and it doesn't mean that either one is necessarily right or wrong. But we fall out about things because we think, I know I'm right, and the other is wrong, and we fall out about it, instead of understanding and trying to reconcile. Now, if somebody else comes in and is able to look at the situation and say that I see it this way, and then we ought to be able, and we ought to be to understand that when you said it was a six, you weren't coming against her. You were just giving it from your perspective. When you said it was a nine, you weren't coming against her. You were just giving it from the perspective that you saw it. All right? Who was wrong? Nobody was really wrong. Nobody was absolutely right. I mean, no, both of you are right. But we will fall out about things like that because we are so certain that I am the one who is right about it and not even try to reconcile. Now, 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. That's the important thing. We can say that we love easily, but the important thing is that we actually act out the love that we see that we're doing. So here's the thing. It's not always that somebody has to be wrong. Sometimes it's just a misunderstanding. Sometimes it's just a misunderstanding. All right? And one should care enough about the other that, I mean, that about the other's feelings, I should say. One should care enough about the other's feelings. If we're walking in this godly love, this Christian love that we talk about, then one should care enough about the other to apologize. If I have offended you, I've hurt your feelings, it was not my intention. So you're looking to reconcile here, to come back into that place of unity that God created us to be in, especially as children of God. We have to be willing to reconcile. I apologize. And sometimes it wasn't even what you said. It was the way that you said it. So before coming to offer your gift, first go and at least try to get it straight with your brother or sister. Because when we sometimes, even if we know that the other person is wrong, is your love strong enough to forgive? That's the God kind of love. Because you have to understand this. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 18, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Jesus came and gave us the example. God did not wait for us even to apologize for the wrong that we had done. We had all done wrong. God didn't wait for us to apologize. Though we were all guilty, God sent his only son to pay the price for us and make it known that he forgave us. So if he has shown us that example, and we say that we are children of God, my brother, my sister, we need to learn to walk in that same light, to be willing to forgive, to reconcile, to even when we think that we have been done wrong, to forgive. When we know that a person thinks that we have done wrong, your brother has something against you, to go. And you don't have to say that, no, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done that. No, make it known, I did not intend. It was not my intention to offend. It was not my intention to hurt your feelings or anything along that line. As children of God, knowing that we were wrong, God forgave us. Amen. Can we learn to do the same thing? Father, we come again thanking you that you've given us the example of how we ought to walk in love with one another, how we ought to, when there has been disagreements, disputes, arguments, how we need to at least make an effort to reconcile with one another and to walk in the love that you created us to walk in. Where we have missed it, we ask even today that you forgive us, because we do know that we have missed it in many areas. So help us, Lord, to rise above the things that the enemy would do to try to cause division, to cause strife, and help us to walk in your love. In Jesus' name we pray.